Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for Sunday Morning Alive right here on our website. Thank you once again for coming to our website for a Sunday morning sermon. Now, you may go to church somewhere consistently, and I pray that you go to a Bible-believing church where the Bible is preached and taught without apology, amen, in the power of the anointing that God has placed upon His Word. Let it be upon the servant of God that delivers the Word to you, so that the impact of God's Word will have an impact on you and me. I love to hear the Word of God taught. I love to hear it preached with all of the authority that God has vested in it. It is so permanent, so eternal, heaven and earth will pass away. That we see as so absolutely secure and certain will pass away, but the Word of God will abide forever. And so will those who obey the Word of God by coming to Christ as their Savior and following Him as our Lord and Master. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining us today in this Thanksgiving season. We want to begin a message that will honor the Lord through this season in a different way from the holiday. Christmas is coming. It is a holiday to the world. It is a holy day to the true Christian. Thanksgiving is coming. It's a holiday also to the world. It's an occasion for celebrating, not necessarily from the heart showing gratitude for that is upmost to be honored and praised. Listen very carefully today. I want to bring you a message on a joyful noise, the sound of true thanksgiving. A joyful noise, the sound of true thanksgiving. Out of Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. This is, in fact, a psalm of thanksgiving, as we will see very, very quickly. Listen, sandwiched between the celebration of Halloween and Christmas is the holiday called Thanksgiving. Did you know that Halloween is gaining on Christmas in terms of how much people spend on that particular holiday, that it's absolutely gaining on Christmas for holiday spending? This celebration of Halloween, it's amazing. Thanksgiving is kind of in the middle, sandwiched between the two high-spending holidays concerning the world. Now, for the Christian, Christmas is a holy day. And for the Christian, amen, Thanksgiving should be an everyday celebration, not a once-a-year celebration. And for the Christian, Thanksgiving should be something that is stimulated by more than the material blessings that we have. Yes, we should thank Him for every material blessing that He's given us, particularly here in America. But for the true Christian who wants to give genuine praise acceptable to God, gratitude is the first and foremost attitude of the heart and atmosphere of the heart that should be offered unto God on a daily basis. This is the day, and it's not just a day once a year, it's every day for the believer. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And in particular, I will be glad in Him. So I want to make a statement today that thankful praise, true worship, therefore, begins with gratitude. It is therefore the outflowing to God from a heart overflowing with gratitude. I want to say that again to you today. Real, true, thankful praise, which is the basis for all true worship. Yes, we worship God because He's holy. We worship God because that He is powerful and almighty. But above all, we worship God because He is good. He is gracious because He gave us His only begotten Son, and because Jesus, the Son of God and our Savior, gave His life, suffering and dying for our sins. So real, genuine, true worship begins with gratitude. It is therefore the outflowing to God from a heart overflowing with gratitude. And if the heart isn't overflowing with gratitude, it doesn't matter how emotionally, passionately, seemingly we may sing or say unto the Lord that we are grateful in our praise. Because man looks on the outward appearance, God goes deeper. He looks deep within the heart. And if He sees true gratitude for all that He has given us in Christ and given us in behalf of His sacrifice on the cross, the grace and goodness of God in focus, amen, we overflow with love for Him and gratitude to Him. So let's read Psalm 100. Should be very familiar to you. Amen. And let's look at a pattern psalm for thanksgiving. Listen, the goodness of God, His saving grace, our Savior Jesus Christ, and the eternal blessings of sins forgiven, hell avoided, and heaven gained. This joyful sound should be our everyday anthem, celebrating the Father who gave His Son, the Son who gave His life, now and throughout all eternity. Praise God. So let's look at it today. Listen, a joyful noise, the sound of thanksgiving. Psalm 100, 1 through 5. I want to stop here just a minute. There's a scripture that says in the Old Covenant, blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. Listen, if someone is celebrating a victory and that great celebration is rising to God, I mean, when God parted the Red Sea, and they walked over through that passageway to the other side. And when Pharaoh's army, his chariots, his soldiers got in the midst of the sea, the waters came back down, destroying the chariots and the horses and Pharaoh's army. And here they stood on the other side experiencing God's deliverance. And they didn't just say, oh, well, thank you, Lord, and went on about their business. No, Miriam picked up a tambourine, according to Scripture, and she began to lead praise unto the Lord and to sing praises to God. You see, this joyful noise originates from a heart of gratitude for what God has done and what God is doing and what God is going to do if we keep our trust and our faith in Him. So let's read it together today. Psalm 100, 1 through 5. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It's He that made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates. Look at the progression into the presence of God. Enter His gates with, there it is, something in the heart. Before we even give voice to it, it has to originate in the heart. A choir can sing and hit a high C. I don't even know how to get there, but a high C is evidently you have to go up some octaves to get there. Amen. I might sing in the key of C, but certainly not a high C. But I'll tell you, when I sing unto the Lord, I sing in the highest praise that I can offer. I don't know what octave it's in, but the volume is usually wide open. Praise God. Amen. Listen, friend of mine, God loves the joyful sound that is originating from hearts that are full of appreciation and gratitude for what He has done and what He's doing, and therefore what He will do if we keep our trust and faith in Him. Praise God. Listen, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Let's get back to verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. That's the attitude of the heart. Into His courts with praise. Hallelujah. That's when we verbally, as the New Testament puts it, we offer the calves of our lips, sacrificial language. A thank offering in the Old Covenant was not a required offering. It was expected. God said, that's one of the things He looks for. Remember when the 10 lepers were healed by Jesus? So He said, go show yourself to the priest that you were healed. As they went, their skin was made white as snow, because they had to convince the priest that they had no more leprosy in order to be accepted back into the community, lest they infect other people. That we saw this during the time that we have recently come through and are still going through to a lesser degree, that if you have COVID, you're not supposed to be around other people lest you give it to them. That was their situation, only far, far more stringent. But when the priest saw they were healed completely, He said, you can come back in the community. There's no leprosy there anymore. And only one out of the 10, because instead of being so grateful to God and to Christ for healing them, they were so glad they could just get back at it, get back involved in their life and their loved ones. They didn't stop for this all-important praise and honor because of gratitude. One man came back to give Jesus thanks. One out of 10. Think about that. Such a great miracle that it impacted them with such great impact for good. And only one came back. And Jesus said, were not there 10 healed? Where are the other 9? I never want him to be wondering why I am not going to honor Him, praise Him, out of gratitude for all that He has done for me on my worst day of my life. It does not cancel Calvary. It does not cancel the cross. I will praise Him. Hallelujah. I will offer the calves of my lips unto Him. So in the Old Covenant, while thanksgiving was not required, it was absolutely expected. God expected them to show gratitude. And it didn't really mean anything if it was required to God. The sin offering was required, and generally speaking, after the sin offering was offered and that sacrifice was killed and slain so that the judgment would not come upon Israel, they would come and bring out of their own volition, out of their own free will, they would come and offer another offering as a thanks offering, a follow-up, hallelujah, to the blessing of sin forgiven. Throughout all of Israel's history, Psalm 100 was known as a psalm of thanksgiving. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary calls it a psalm of thankful praise. Therefore, a joyful noise was heard by the Lord and heard by everyone. One Bible footnote says a hymn inviting people to enter the temple courts with thank offerings for the God who created them and provided for them. Praise God. So Psalm 100 is both a call to worship and an instruction manual on how to worship God acceptably. It all begins with true gratitude in the heart. Amen. The basis for all true worship, therefore, is thanksgiving, an attitude in praise and activity. Alex Haley, the author of the book Roots, had an unusual picture hanging on his office wall. It's a picture of a turtle on top of a fence post. When asked, why is that there? Alex Haley answered, "Every time I write something significant, every time I read my words and think that they are wonderful and begin to feel proud of myself, I look at the turtle on top of the fence post and remember he didn't get there by his own and on his own. He had help." So the basis of thanksgiving, dear friend, is to remember that we got here with the help of God, and that He is the provider of every blessing that we have, especially the blessing of salvation, of sins forgiven, of heaven gained and hell shunned. Glory to God. Andre Crouch sang to a song that resonates with thanksgiving and gratitude. To God be the glory. And the beginning lyric was this: "How can I say thanks for all the things you've done for me, things so undeserved?" Hallelujah. How can we say thanks? How can we express this gratitude in our heart? Well, we make a joyful noise. Hallelujah. I'm so glad, amen, that, you know, years ago I heard the story of a lady who couldn't sing, couldn't hold a note, couldn't hit a note, but desperately wanted to sing with the singers in the choir because she just loved to sing praises to God. Amen. And they solved it without hurting her feelings because she just wanted to belt out a praise, and they tried to get her on key, and she would stand by somebody and throw them off key and lose the timing of the song and throw the whole thing off. But they honored her exuberance and her zeal to praise God. So they gave her a microphone, her own personal microphone, but they just didn't turn it up. Praise God. So she kind of stood over there at her mic and it sung, a friend of mine, "God honors praise that originates in the heart, and gratitude that He sees in the heart when we enter His gates with it in our heart. The gates open wide," amen, "for us to come before His presence with singing and to enter His courts by praising Him and then singing that praise unto Him." Glory to God. Amen. Listen, God wants our praise to be passionate, filled with true emotion and true gratitude. Maybe He solved your problem. Maybe He's given you direction to go. Maybe He's provided a blessing and you realize that it definitely came from God. So from the depths of your being, you proclaim your thanksgiving in the way that you praise Him and the way not just that you give praise, the way you live your life to show gratitude unto Him. That's why, stimulated by gratitude for the cross, the apostle writes unto us in the new covenant, "I beseech you, brethren," here's the stimulation for gratitude that brings the deep devotion in the life. Amen. "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God." What mercies is He talking about? This is where the cross occurred. It's in the new covenant that Jesus hung on the cross, paid our sin debt by suffering and dying as our substitute sacrifice lamb. And I beseech you, in light of those mercies of God, those particular, peculiar new covenant mercies, that you offer your body, the whole of your being, not just your Sunday morning hour, but your whole life, amen, that you offer your body the container for your soul and your spirit, the whole of you, praise God, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Some translators translate this your true spiritual worship. How many Christians, let me put it to you this way, I don't mean to be accusive or condemning, I'm going to be challenging today. How many Christians just sing along with the choir or the praise team, mouth the words, and the words are beautiful. Someone has written them, hopefully out of true gratitude, wanting to offer God praise for all He's given us in Christ and through Jesus Christ. But how many people just mouth the words, never offer themselves in a devoted life to live thanks rather than just saying thank you? This is way beyond just saying thanks on a Sunday morning. This is a life that is lived. This is not a once a year, certainly, celebration. It's not a holiday, amen. It is an everyday experience that we are to enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise, and to come before His presence with singing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Or as one translator puts it, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Shout for joy. It means to shout with the voice of a trumpet blast, a shout of joy to the Lord that comes from the very depths of our being. God wants our praise to be passionate, filled with true emotion and devotion, expressing gratitude, constantly, always making melody, as the New Covenant puts it, always, consistently, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And there are opportunities when that melody in the heart finds its way to our mouth and is expressed in praise and worship and joyful singing. Hallelujah. Praise God. From the depths of our being, we are to proclaim how grateful we are with true praise. Roland Allen tells about a veteran missionary who came up to him one day after he had delivered his sermon. The missionary introduced himself and said, "I was a medical missionary for many years in India, and I served a region where there was a progressive blindness. People were born without healthy vision, but there was something in that area that caused them to lose their sight as they matured. It was a progressive disease. But this missionary had developed a process that would arrest progressive blindness. So people came to him and he performed his operation. They would leave realizing that they would have become blind, but now they were going to be able to see for the rest of their lives. He said they never said thank you because that phrase was not in their dialect. Instead, they spoke a word that meant, I will tell your name. I will tell your name. They express their gratitude by saying the name of the One. In other words, praising the name, magnifying the One that had done this for them. Listen, we should never be ashamed to say the name of Jesus Christ, to praise the name of Jesus Christ. Wherever they went, they would tell the name of the missionary who cured their blindness. They had received something so wonderful, they eagerly proclaimed it. And that's kind of what the psalmist is saying. Suddenly, you realize God has been so good to you, you can't keep it inside anymore. From the depths of your being, you shout your joy to the Lord. Listen, when we passionately praise God with grateful hearts, we declare His greatness and we declare His goodness. By the way, the psalmist David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. You see, true gratitude doesn't fluctuate with circumstances, especially when that gratitude is not just for a great day, but a great grace wherewith God has saved us, and a great love that caused Him to give and offer up His only begotten Son in our behalf, and a great Savior, Jesus Christ, who offered Himself without reservation, offered Himself as a lamb dumb before His shearers. He opened not His mouth. He allowed them to take Him, to beat Him almost to death, and then to nail Him to that cross, and for 6 agonizing hours, suffering, dying, taking the wrath of God upon Himself, so that we'd never have to experience it. For we have not been appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation. And it's all because of the goodness and the grace of God. I'm going to tell you, I've had great days that I praise God, and I've had bad days when I thought, oh man, am I supposed to praise Him? Yes. The answer is yes. Yes. If it's just for things and you lose your things, then your praise is just going to go. I started to say go to the, the John. It is going to go downhill. You see what I'm saying? This is a consistent praise, not a one-day holiday, but an everyday event in our life. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Jesus Christ. We should never doubt His love. The cross should transcend the circumstance. Why is this happening to me? I don't know. I don't understand it. I feel awful today because of the events that have occurred, but I have been saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and that blood was shed by a God who gave His Son, and a Son and Savior who gave His life for me. And whatever I'm going through and however my emotions are racked and wrecked, it should not affect the consistency of my gratitude for the cross. Amen. We're here for a short time, and trouble's going to come and trouble's going to go. No matter how dark the night, the sun will come up in the morning. Hallelujah. Weeping lasts but for a night. Joy comes in the morning. And you know what will get you through the night till that morning comes? The joy of your salvation. The joy of knowing Christ. The joy of knowing how much God loved you to give His Son. How much Jesus loved you to give His life. That's why, stimulated by this mercy, the apostle writes unto us, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Some translate your true spiritual worship. And then be no more conformed to this world. One of the things that marks the end time is unthankfulness. Simply unthankfulness, right in the middle of the grossest of sins, is the ungrateful heart, not recognizing, bowing to, and blessing the God who has given us everything that is good in our life. Oh, dear friend, don't ever let an immediate circumstance cancel the cross in your vision. Keep this wonderful focus upon Jesus, who is the author, the finisher of our faith. Psalm 105 puts it this way, O give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name and make His deeds known his deeds among the people, sing to him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of his wonderful works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Praise God. Oh, I pray you have a great Turkey Day. Let Turkey Day be Turkey Day. Feasting is part of celebrating God's grace and mercy. Prodigal son comes home, kill the fatted calf, let's have a feast. There's the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles. Oh, friend, God enjoys when we celebrate his goodness. And when we enjoy him, we joy in God through Jesus Christ. So this doesn't take away from celebrating. It just causes the celebration to be on a far deeper level than anything the world can celebrate. And it's something that doesn't end when the holiday is officially over. Amen. It is something that continues throughout our life, and I believe it will continue throughout all eternity. I don't think there'll be a day that you and I are in heaven as Christians that we won't celebrate Jesus and celebrate the Father for giving us this wonderful opportunity to have our sins forgiven, to escape hell, and make heaven our eternal home. Let this be a Thanksgiving day that is filled with deep gratitude to God, but let that gratitude continue every single day, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Praise God. He loves it when we sing those joyful songs unto him. Amen. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, the Bible said you're without hope and without God in the world. Without hope and without God. That is a terrible state to be in. It's a terrible state to be in. I was in a Christian bookstore and I saw a tapestry, showed a sunrise. And it said the greatest blessing that you can have in life is seeing a beautiful day begin with a perfect blue sky and a wonderful sunrise as day dawns and knowing who to thank. In other words, knowing God and thanking him for all the good that he has given us, and especially if you are saved today. But if you're not saved and you don't know Christ as your Savior, dear friend of mine, you're missing the greatest blessing that you could ever receive. That's the blessing of sins forgiven, of being reconciled unto God, of have the promise of God being with you here every day of your life, no matter what you face. Christ said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you. I'll go with you every step of the way. Dear friend of mine, nothing in the world literally can compare with knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Don't miss this opportunity. For this grace, this goodness, this love to be expressed to you, run to Jesus. Repent of your sin. Receive him as your Lord and Savior. And from that moment on, live a life of gratitude, giving glory. Say his name. Tell his name. Share his name. And see others know the joy that you have received in Jesus' name.